You are listening to Roll the Quadcast, a Blogger So Deer podcast where little old Charlie Brown is still trying to kick that football. Blogger So Deer is the go-to website for the best independent analysis of Wake Forest athletics.
Welcome to episode 26 of Roll the Quadcast. I'm Rob Reinhardt, joined as always by my co-host Riley Johnston, recording here on Sunday, April 6th, 2014. Riley, it was a long wait. Yep. But we finally have ourselves a basketball coach, Danny Manning.
We do.
What are your initial thoughts?
I think that Danny Manning will be a very good fit for Wake Forest moving forward. I think he has shown that he can win conference championships, certainly, as he did last year at Tulsa, leading them to a 13th seed to play UCLA in the NCAA second round.
Second round in quotes.
But I believe he... I think he's going to be a very good fit here at Wake Forest. And while I do not believe he was the top candidate, I'm pretty excited about him. I'm a little more optimistic than most. And I think as we kind of get away from the hiring a little bit and we move towards the start of next season, I think most people will come around and realize that he's a pretty exciting candidate to have here at Wake Forest. Certainly the most celebrated basketball player we've ever had to coach here.
Yes, certainly. You talk about a three-time All-American in Kansas, a National Player of the Year, a National Champion, a 15-year NBA veteran, a two-time All-Star, Six-Man of the Year award in the NBA. And yeah, he's a pretty accomplished basketball player. He was an above-average player. I think that's fair to say. And you know, hopefully his accomplishments can help in recruiting. You know, while he does not have the longest resume in the world, if you're going to take a chance on someone with a short resume, at least he has a unique value proposition compared to most other college coaches, really, in that he personally knows what it takes to get to the NBA and to be a 10-plus year veteran.
Absolutely.
And be a national champion. He knows firsthand what that takes, which if you're going to take a risk on someone, I would rather take a risk on someone who has that playing experience versus someone who doesn't. Now, you can certainly bring up the interesting point, well, being a good player is no guarantee of being a good coach or a good GM, and I certainly wouldn't dispute that at all. But it does add at least something to the table. And look, there's certainly no evidence that Danny Manning's a bad coach. There's just a lack of evidence. He's only been a head coach for 2 years at Tulsa, although the teams were both very young and did improve. And like you said, already won a conference championship in his second year.
Yep.
Upset Louisiana Tech in the title game. But, you know, that's how these conference tournaments play out most of the time. Usually the number one seed in the tournament does not win. So he has some upside to him.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he has a lot of experience under Bill Self at Kansas. Self is a top five coach in the country as far as I'm concerned. So
of course.
That experience could pay off very well for him. He, you know, he's just been under a lot of great coaches throughout his career, so hopefully that will translate to success.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that he needs to bring here is stability. There, right now, it's kind of an upheaval in terms of, you know, the Jeff Petrelic era is now over, and we need to move forward from that. So we need to get back to where we were before that. You know, from 1990 to 2010, Wake Forest was one of the best basketball teams in the country in terms of being nationally recognizable and
making the NCAA tournament, making runs,
16 straight postseason tournaments. That's more than UNC and Duke over that same time span. Been very, very difficult to beat at home. Struggled on the road a little bit, but we've been in the tournament year in and year out, and we need to get back to there. And I think Danny Manning will get that job done. It's very critical that we get hits with the recruiting right off the bat. We have a bit of a log jam on the roster. I think 8 juniors. Not necessarily a bad
thing. Yeah, it depends on what will happen with Daniel Green's
right
availability and how the NCAA rules, if we rule for medical hardship or that's the incorrect term, but another medical red shirt,
right,
give him a 6-year of eligibility.
But, you know, it's kind of, it's not a good thing that we have that log jam, but it does two things that I think are good. First of all, it gives them the chance to win now. We have eight juniors, or at least seven juniors, so that's 2 years with those guys. They played in the ACC, they know what it takes. And the second thing it does, it allows him to bring in his own guys in 2 or 3 years and really start over. So he can lay the foundation now, and then he can bring in the guys that he wants to. That's kind of an ideal situation. And, you know, it's easy to relate to players when you walk into their living room, and obviously he's a man of big stature, 6'10", if I'm not mistaken.
He's a large gentleman.
88 National Player of the Year. There aren't that many people that can say that. I believe he left.
He's the only one who won it that year. Yeah, sorry, that was sorry. I'm being a jerk there, but
not just made it. And I believe he was the number one overall draft.
He was the number one pick. I left that out in talking about him.
Yeah. So obviously, there've only been about 40 of those. So anytime you have a coach that can have those accomplishments as a player, and he's also won two titles under Bill Self as a player. In 88, he won as a player, and then he won it
in 2008.
In 2008.
And national runner-up in 2012.
Right, so even though he wasn't the head coach, he knows what it takes to win. He's won at all facets in his life. He's a winner, and hopefully that translates to Wake Forest. That's what we need. We just need to get it stabilized, and I think he'll be the guy to do it.
I think so, and in terms of recruiting, it's tough to say what his recruiting role exactly was at Kansas. Two of his assistants were, by most accounts, excellent recruiters, so it's tough to see what all he had to do. But I'm working on a piece for BSD that'll be out tomorrow on his development of big men, and you hear about this, always a great big man coach, and sometimes people just say that, and there really isn't anything to back it up. But I went back and looked, and if you look at the players he has coached since he has been in the assistant role at Kansas, you look at a number of players. You look at Darrell Arthur, Darnell Jackson, Sasha Kahn, Cole Aldrich, Markieff Morris, Marcus Morris, and Thomas Robinson, and Jeff Withey. You know, with the exception of Darrell Arthur, who was, I think, a top five recruit, you know, the rest were four stars. You know, he's not turning water into wine here. He's not performing,
right,
you know, miracles. But, you know, they're not can't-miss prospects. They're rated anywhere from 30th to 60th or so, which those recruits flame out all the time. Even the plenty of five stars flame out a decent amount. And every one of them, when you look at their career once Manning got there, they get better every year. Their offensive ratings jump. Their effective field goal percentages really jump, which is a notion for a good big man and good form and good shot selection. And every single one of those players was drafted in the NBA. A number of them lottery picks. And Sasha Khan's the only one who did not play in the NBA, but he's been playing in Russia ever since. So he turned a backup center into a second round draft pick, which is, you know, still pretty impressive. Only 60 players get drafted every year. So he is a legitimate very good big man coach. And, you know, Devin Thomas should benefit greatly from that.
I think Devin will have a great.
And you talk about recruiting. If I'm going into someone's living room, you know, hey, all these big guys I coached at Kansas, you want to be in the NBA? Yes, sir. Well, I'll get you there. I've got all of these guys there. I'll get you there. So if you look at someone like a Noah Dickerson, who we're targeting in the 2015 class, a very good power forward, hey, all of a sudden he might be very interested now that we have a very good big man as our head coach.
Yeah, and I'm pretty excited, looking forward to that. And I think one of the things that it's going to be interesting to see the style of play, so kind of transitioning into what we can expect to see
on the court.
For his team. Well, it started offense. Shane did a fantastic job of breaking that down.
The Manning way.
Yes, the Manning way. Offense by the numbers. When you take a look at it, a lot of things they kind of resemble what we did offensively the last couple of years as well. They get to the free throw line a lot. That's clearly they go inside and inside out. And they like to play pretty fast. I believe that they were
pushing.
Adjusted tempo. They were top 90 in both of the last two seasons. I think last year looked like they were 79th in the country. They've got some work to do in terms of his offensive numbers overall weren't that great. But a lot of Tulsa.
They did improve, and we should add, Tulsa was very young the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's where I would
go. Okay, sorry. No, go ahead.
Yeah, they're a really, really young team, and I believe they have about six or seven sophomores this year, so that will be juniors next year.
Yeah, this team is built. Tulsa should be a pretty good team each of the next 2 years. Could easily win the CUSA each of the next 2 years.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they get a lot of their points from inside. They not great three-point shooters, not good free-throw shooters, but, you know, they seem to do a reasonable job of assisting pretty well, getting good, easy inside baskets. We'll need to see some improvement there. I think they were 169th in KenPom offensively last year. Not great numbers by any stretch of the imagination, but it improved from 223 the first year. So he's clearly got them going on.
They at least got to be slightly at about average. That's right about average, slightly above average, which, hey, you'll take it. And, you know, we'll keep talking about their offense here, but yeah, I mean, they get turnover percentage was key.
Yes,
They go from 268th in the country, turning over 21.7% of the time his first year, down to just 16.8% of the time, which 69th in the country, which, you know, very good. And that's a sign of good coaching, good guard play, obviously. But that's something he can control. He can only control effective field goal percentage, but so much on the off. He can't shoot it for him. Go on.
I'm a little concerned about the offensive rebounding numbers. It looks like they were 225th his first year, 219th last year. For a guy that, you know, is a big man coach, you'd like to see perhaps bigger jumps than that. But we've got a lot of guys in there that should be able to rebound efficiently. I mean, Devin Thomas, there's no excuse for Thomas, Washington when he's in there, Modo, Calvin, they all need to grab, they need to crash the board. And I'm not sure if, not completely giving up offensive rebounds, but leaking out a little bit is in his plan for tempo to get up and down the court. But I'd like to see those numbers raised up a little bit, especially after what we've seen the last 4 years under Jeff Delaney.
Yeah, it is tough to say. Obviously, offensive rebounding percentage, that number I think is definitely the most alarming of the four factors, which we talk about, of effective field goal percentage, turnover percentage, rebounding percentage, and free throw rate. I will add that the team's effective height was below average. So that does factor into it a little bit, but you're right. Even with their, you know, smaller team, you would like to see those offensive rebounding numbers better and at least increase more from year one to year two.
Absolutely. So I think offensively might be where he has a lot of room to grow. But, you know, under Bill Self, he learned a very good defensive mindset, and you want to kind of go over the defense because that seems to be his, at this point in his career, what he's known for the most.
Yeah, and that's, you know, he says he's a very detail-oriented person. He said that's going to be his goal when he comes to Wake Forest, and you can sort of see that in his defensive numbers in Kansas. For those who don't know, obviously people know Kansas is a very good basketball team, an excellent program. They've been top 10 in the country in effective field goal percentage pretty much every year Bill Self has got there. I mean, they play relentless pressure, man-to-man defense. Manning's teams will play some zone. I was watching the Maryland game. They played a little bit of zone, mostly because Maryland can't shoot that well. So it seemed applicable, but they will play a lot of pressure man-to-man defense, and they will pick up full court man-to-man in dead ball situations. That's just their MO. But some really impressive defensive numbers. I mean, they went from 134th in effective field goal percentage defense to 53rd this year. They went from turnovers percentage force of 233rd up to 49th. Defensive rebounding, it is better than their offensive rebounding. They went from 83rd to 91st, so they essentially stayed the same there. And the two-point percentage they allowed, they did much better job of this. They went from 102nd to 16th. And in overall defensive rating, they went from 137th in the country to 31st in the country. So they have
that's a phenomenal
top 31 defense in the country, again, with a team full of sophomores and an undersized team. So this team is relentless in their pressure.
Yeah, and I think what that 31st in the country defensively with a young team, that tells me that he got the guys to buy in. You don't get guys to come in and just play in the sounds old man, but get guys that are in AAU out there to come in and, you know, commit to defense unless if they buy into the whole scheme. And I think going from 137th in 2 years ago to a 31st last year, that's a phenomenal change. And the two-point percentage defense, they're 16th in the country. And I think I might be a little off on the stat. Bill Self, the last like 15 years, 10 years at Kansas, he's been top, I think, 20 in 2-point percentage defense.
Oh yeah. I mean,
we can expect to see very, very good interior
defense. If you look at the stats for Kansas's defenses under Bill Self, and you look at Manning's defense, I mean, you can definitely see the similarities to a lesser degree. Obviously, Kansas has better athletes, better players, so you couldn't expect Tulsa to mimic it exactly, but you see a very similar philosophy, and you give him ACC players,
yeah,
which he'll have at Wake Forest. You know, hopefully he can come even closer to the hopefully he can pass the Kansas defense.
Yeah.
That would certainly
That'd
be something.
Ideal.
But I would expect that will be the most noticeable difference next year to Wake fans, I think, is our commitment to defense.
I think we just need to get tougher, and I think that's what Danny Manning brings. He's a tough guy. He stresses tough defense, and a lot of times I thought our guys were soft last year. I mean, I don't like using that word, throwing it around, but I mean we won a lot of close games, but I mean defensively inside we were soft, and hopefully Danny Manning gets that squared away and gets them to commit to defense and, you know, try their best out there. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. So I think Danny Manning will be a good fit. It remains to be seen. I think recruiting, he should be able to do a good job just based on his pedigree, but he needs to land a couple of good assistant coaches that know the area well that can recruit at this level.
Yeah, that is an area for concern. I mean, he's a Midwest guy, being in either Kansas or Oklahoma since 2003 in his entire collegiate coaching career. So it will be important to have someone on the staff with some East Coast, some North Carolina ties, given how much talent is in this area.
Right. So I'm excited to see that. And it's big class that they're coming up in the state of North Carolina in terms of recruiting a lot of good players. So he needs to get out there and start hitting the trail hard, which I believe he'll do. Let's kind of transition this into now that we have him, assuming we keep everybody, you know, transfers under a new coach are always not expected, but you know, you never know, especially
when
you
wouldn't be surprised at all.
When we've got seven players there, assuming the roster stays the same,
yeah, which we hope it does.
What expectations moving forward? You know, this year, maybe 2 years, three years down the road. And we had a question from at Sebastian Ivory, a current student at Wake Forest, wanting to get our take on the current expectations. So, I mean, just looking at it now, obviously, it's a little too early. I'm not talking pick the number of wins in conference or anything, but you know, what are your expectations moving forward for next year, maybe the year past that, and beyond?
Well, next year, you know, again, we don't know the schedule. I would hope, I would like to think we should at least make the NIT next year. With that many juniors coming back and what I think Danny Manning can do to help Devin Thomas on the interior, I think Devin Thomas will benefit tremendously. I think Sheldon Mitchell coming in will be huge for us. I think Greg McClinton's addition will be huge for us. We'll have to see what we can deal with outside shooting. And then from 2015, for Manning's second year, it's got to be NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I think we will make the NCAA tournament, and I think we'll be a failure if we do not, barring some injuries. I think that will be a failure if we do not make the NCAA tournament with a team with that many seniors on the team with that much experience throughout their 4 years. That will be a failure. So I would expect that. And then the third season, a little bit way too far out to predict complete roster turnover by that season, but the recruiting class is going to be so essential to that season.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you for the most part. I think next year we should be on the bubble for the NCAA tournament. I think this team is more talented than what they have been achieving in the last 2 years. I mean, 17 wins last year, certainly not horrible, but it was year four. These guys have been in the system for 2 years now. It's time to make that step to the next level. I think NIT is a reasonable goal next year. Get some experience there, and I think you can use that as a kind of a propelling off a point. I think we should make the tournament in the second year. So I think bubble next year with the NIT, definitely get some postseason experience. And then the year after that, we'll have seven seniors, assuming no roster turnover, which obviously might be a big assumption. You can't not make the NCAA tournament for 4 years with that many guys in class.
That's unacceptable.
And so after that, you know, with that, depending on how much talent comes in, you know, you think you might see a slight fall off then. But at that point, Danny Manning's handprint is all over the program. I mean, it's his program at that point, because he will have brought in two classes worth of guys, and then he can really hit the trail hard because he's got to fill those roster spots.
He will have a difficult job in year three. There's no doubt about it. And obviously that is a ways away. He hasn't even had his first practice. I'm not sure he's even met with the team yet in person. But when you talk about losing that many seniors, and then he's only going to have one scholarship available for next season, for the 2015 class, it should be a very, very young team. But, you know, hopefully if he can bring in enough talented players, and you still got guys like Sheldon Mitchell on the team and Greg McClinton on the team, who hopefully blossom as juniors then, and, you know, a Miles Overton as a senior, well, hey, maybe it could be something. Hey, you bring in a Harry Giles, for example, you'll make the NCAA tournament. That's a guarantee.
Yeah, and I think next year, I mean, just looking, obviously, way too early again. But you have to think Shelton Mitchell, hopefully his knee injury is healing up. It looked like he was limping
a little bit. He started limping the other day.
And, I mean, 3 games in 3 days is a lot for a guy that hasn't been playing. So I'll chalk that up to
hopefully it's just sore.
Yeah, I mean, I believe he had a meniscus surgery, and
he did.
I have a little experience with that. Just you know, a lot of people have meniscus problems, and they can be recurring if they're not done correctly. So hopefully, you know, it's just tissue buildup. I don't know if it was a one-time torn meniscus or if he's got, you know, kind of a
tendon.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with him specifically. Hopefully, he'll be okay. I think a lineup of Mitchell will kind of fly Cody over to the two. He can handle the ball a little bit. Shelton can handle the ball.
Yeah.
McClinton, Moto and Cab, three and four.
Thomas, obviously.
Yeah, and then you got a ton of depth.
You got a lot of options.
McClinton, Green, Andre, Tree,
Overton, for sure.
Madison, I mean, those are a lot of. We got a lot of depth there, and some of it's quality depth. So that's good to have.
Yeah, I mean, we should absolutely be striving to go 500 in conference next year. You know, Duke and Carolina are going to be nasty, but pretty much everybody else is going to be down, I think.
Yeah, Syracuse should be a little down. I think Louisville got a few seniors.
Louisville loses a lot.
Virginia should still be pretty good. They lose Joe Harris, but they've got a lot of good
youth there. Yeah, they'll still be solid. Miami will be a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're definitely...
It's the ACC. It's going to be a competitive league.
Just take another step. We made... We finished 9-10. What were we finishing the league this year? I'm drawing a blank.
We finished 11th.
11th, okay. So we finished 11th. I mean, if you have another four-spot jump up to 7th, 8th, that you're looking right around the 500 mark, if I had to guess, at that point. So I think that's a reasonable expectation there. We got to keep making steps. That's the biggest thing. We're down now, we don't need to have Coach Manning do this all at once. It needs to be a building of a program, and he'll have a chance to really. This is his big shot.
Yes,
I mean, you know, you take a team, a historically proud program.
That's been down.
It's been down. You have a chance to take them against the big boys, make it your own.
I mean, Manning has a chance to be a god in this. Absolutely does. Look, we're coming off a very difficult past 4 years. We are looking for someone. And hopefully Manning is that guy. You know, I'm thrilled to see, you know, some of the fan base has been criticized for the rolling of the quad, the bad billboards. Well, you know what? Let's give them credit. In organized effort, there's a nice billboard across from the Wake Forest Hospital downtown on Business 40 welcoming Coach Clawson and Coach Manning to Wake Forest. So, and also there's a nice event called Man the Quad. On Tuesday at 6:30. So the pep band's going to be there. There's going to be that's the entertainment. There, you know, Manning will obviously be there. There'll be food and beverage. So I strongly encourage everybody who can come out to that event to come out and support the coach, and let's rally behind him. You know, he hasn't lost a game yet, so let's give him all the support he can. It's okay if you're, you know, somewhat cautious of the hire and you're unsure of it. You know, let's let's give them a chance.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't know at this point whether or not there's not enough evidence out there to indicate that he will be a great coach or a horrible coach. He will likely fall somewhere in between those two extremes. I think we have to give him a fair shot as the fan base, and I'm pretty excited about it. I think that he has a lot of upside. It is a high-risk, high-reward hiring, in my opinion. He's not proven, but I think he can win. I think
he can win. He's shown nothing that says he has no obvious flaws.
Right.
That doesn't say he doesn't have flaws.
It's not like Jeff Bozdelic 4 years ago where he came in, you said, wow, what is that record?
1-24 on the road. We saw that translate. We saw the poor offensive rebounding numbers. We saw Air Force completely collapse after he left because he had some junior and senior teams, and that he did not recruit well, and they fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah, so I think the fan base needs to get behind, and they need to accept him here and welcome him. I think we will do a good job. The fan base wants to win. They desperately want to win, and they want to support a winner. They've proven that, they got their voices heard, I would say. Nationally, media, people were writing about them. Now it's time to get behind them and show them why you're such a passionate, proud fan base. And I think we'll do that. So I'm excited about this next season. And I think not just Coach Manning, but Coach Clawson, it should be a very exciting fall and spring. And it should be extremely, I guess, eternal optimism is what I like to use to describe the Wake Forest fan base. Hopefully, we're waiting for next year as the Cubs do, but hopefully it'll come one day, and that's what I think Coach Manning can bring us. So.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. There's some obvious risks there, and it might not work out, but I know I'm rooting for the guy, and I think the fan base is really going to rally around Manning and give him all of the support he needs, and hopefully the administration will do the same and get behind a winner and get Wake back to where it belongs in the ACC and nationally.
Yeah, and I mean, needless to say, but this hire can't be a whiff. I mean, if he does not succeed here for 3 or 4 years, I mean, that's 7-8 years of irrelevant.
Yeah.
At Wake Forest, and I think he knows that. The administration knows that. The players know that. The fans know that. This is a must succeed situation.
This is a must succeed.
And I think he has the tools to do that. And I think he's going to get the job done. I'm really optimistic about it. And I think that he's going to do a fine job here at Wake Forest.
Yeah, I mean, look, tutored under Self at Kansas. His head coach was Larry Brown at Kansas, who's a pretty good coach. Greg Popovich was actually also on that staff. He's been coached by Jerry Sloan, Don Nelson.
He's learned under the best.
He's had
who's who of coaches.
I mean, he has had some tremendous coaches, and hopefully that will rub off, and he can bring that over to Wake Forest.
So I'm excited to see that, and I think that pretty much wraps up what we wanted to talk about here. It's a little shorter than usual, but kind of short and sweet. We touched on all the Manning stuff. I'm really excited, and we'd love to hear what you guys think. I love the hits that we've been getting on the blog. We try to provide new content every day. Rob's done a great job of stepping up and being the managing editor, and I think we're really bringing Blogger So Dear into a new era as well, and I'm excited to share all this with the readers and everybody that follows us.
Yeah, we're excited about that. We've seen we've had a lot of members sign up in the past few weeks, so we're thankful for that. We're seeing an increase in comments, which is great. For this podcast, Riley and I are looking to potentially go make it into a live radio call-in show. That obviously the listeners will be able to call in and voice their opinions, because that's what we want. That's part of the Wake Forest community. That's part of SB Nation, really. Yep. You got your fan posts that you're welcome to post. If you got an opinion on things, you comment on things. And we'd love
fan perspective.
We'd love quality. We'd love to have your voice concerned. So we have some big plans for the site, and we hope to bring you guys along for the ride. We're very excited. And one last note, Wake Forest, in addition to hiring Danny Manning on Friday. There was some other good news. Another large man, T.J. Haney, 6'6", 315-pound offensive tackle out of Gaffney, South Carolina, became the first commit for the 2015 football recruiting class.
Good job by Coach Clawson to chew that up and make that happen.
Absolutely.
Anchor down another offensive line.
Anchor down another offensive line. A great troll quote by special teams tight ends coordinator Coach Shire. He was the 18th best player in South Carolina, a top 850 player nationally, which, if you're used to basketball rankings, that's not that impressive. But for football rankings, it's very impressive.
There are a lot more players.
He would have been one of our highest-rated recruits last year. So this is a tremendous start. Chose us over Vanderbilt, and that's the kind of schools we got to be beating.
Vanderbilt, and I believe he got offered to Yale.
Had offers from Yale and Marshall. So he's a smart guy. I had the pleasure of interviewing him about 2 weeks ago. He's a very smart, humble kid. So the Wake Forest fan base can this will be a good kid to root for, and we should be shaping up to have a good offensive line here in a few years, maybe even this year.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, well, I think that's about it. I'm really excited moving forward, and I'm ready for football already. So.
Oh, I'm ready for football. Hey, only a few weeks away from the first great tailgate of the year.
Yep, spring game, so I'm excited. As always, you can follow me at BSD underscore R.A. Johnston. And where can they find you on Twitter, Rob?
At Robert underscore Reinhard, R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D.
We love the underscores, and we love our Twitter followers. So
and we love Wake Forest.
We do. So this was a fun, short, and sweet podcast. We'll be with you again next week, I'm sure, with Roll the Quadcast. But as always, go Deeks.
Go Deeks. We'll